right now, we want to get into this lesson and learn about this fourth speaker, Elihu, what he has to say to Job, who is way older than he is. Here is Youth Answers Age.
During the difficult days of World War II, a young Jewish girl in the Warsaw ghetto of Poland managed to escape over the wall and hide in a cave. Tragically, she died in that cave shortly before the Allied army broke into the ghetto to liberate the prisoners. But before she died, she scratched on the wall some powerful words that sound like a creed. Here's what she wrote: I believe in the sun, even when it is not shining. I believe in love, even when feeling it or not. And I believe in God, even when He is silent. Her last statement comes very close to describing the kind of challenges that Job has been experiencing in this book. Without hearing any word from God, he has been allowed to endure incredible suffering. Now, as we begin this new book, we are going to discover that God is not the only one who is silent. As we look into this new section of the book of Job, we're going to see that silence is kind of one of the themes. First of all, Job is silent. He has ended his defense and testified that he was not guilty of the sins he was accused of by Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And he has challenged God either to vindicate him or pass sentence on him. He has nothing left to say. The trial has gone on long enough, and Job is now just ready for God to do something. He has nothing left to say. Job's three friends are silent. They are sure that God's judgment on Job is about to happen, and frankly, they've run out of things to say because nothing they say seems to make any impact on Job at all. And then, as we alluded to in the introduction, God is silent. And someone has written that the silence of God is eloquent. Eloquent silence. His silence is eloquent in his witness to Bildad and Eliphaz and Zophar that they are wrong in what they are doing. They are wrong about Job and they are wrong about God. And it's also in many ways eloquent silence in respect to Job. It's a reminder to Job and to all of us that Almighty God is not at the beck and call of his creatures. God doesn't appear just because somebody thinks he should. He doesn't answer on our time schedule. How many of you know that to be true? God isn't always on your schedule. We try to get on his. He's not always on ours. So Job is silent, and his three friends are silent, and God is silent, but we're about to meet someone who isn't silent. He's been hanging around during this whole story. We haven't met him yet. We don't even know his name. We've met all the other characters, God and Satan, Job and his 10 children, his wife, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. These are all the characters in the story. And here we are in chapter 32, and a new character is about to be introduced. His name is Elihu. He is the youngest of all of the men that Job has been interacting with. But we're going to learn about this young man who has listened to the endless speeches of these other three. And now, after all this time, he feels compelled to speak. In chapter 32, he's going to make a case for why he should be speaking. And in chapter 33, he's going to tell us what he wants to say. So the main outlines of these two chapters are, number one, this is why God is speaking through me. And number two, chapter 33, this is what God is saying through me. Now, why would Elihu have to feel like he needed to spend a whole chapter justifying his right to speak? Well, he has waited patiently before speaking, and he gives two reasons for that. First of all, he was younger than everybody else in the story. He was certainly younger than Job, younger than Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, and he did not feel like he was qualified to make input into the situation. It was his feeling that as a young man, his role was to respect those who were older than he was. His second reason for not saying anything up until now is he wanted to listen to what everybody else had said. He wanted to take good notes. He wanted to hear all their opinions. He wanted to get it all down on paper, have it organized, so that when it was his time to speak, he would have the benefit of having heard everybody else's speeches. And frankly, as you go through the speeches of Elihu, they're kind of a distillation of some of the stuff that's already been said. Now, since Elihu quoted from the speeches of all of the other three men, we know that he had listened closely and he had remembered a lot of what he heard. And while he is a little bit arrogant and a little cocky in the way that he comes across, it is evident as you listen to him speak that his motive for speaking was his desire to try to help Job unravel the problem he finds himself in. Remember, Job's question is, he hasn't done any of the things that he's been accused of, and yet he continues to face every day with unbelievable suffering. He cries out to God, and God doesn't say anything. He's about to speak, but he's not going to speak yet. And so Job's caught up in the dilemma of the problems he has, unsatisfactory explanations of those problems, and silence on the part of God. And Elihu thinks he might be able to help Job with that, so he wants to have his opportunity to make his speech. Now, after a brief introduction, Elihu gives to all of us, to Job and all who are listening, four reasons why he feels like he should be allowed to speak. First of all, reason number one, he was angry. Notice in verses 1 through 7 of chapter 32, so these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath, the anger of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because Job justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they found no answer and yet had condemned Job. And now because they were years older than he, Elihu had waited to speak to Job. And when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. So Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young in years, and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid. And I did not dare to declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak. Now, if you go back through that, which we have just read, you'll discover that there are three reasons why Elihu was angry. He was angry at Job's three friends because they didn't rebuke Job. They had all this stuff, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get Job to respond. He was angry at Job because he said Job justified himself before God, which really isn't true, but that's the way it appeared. And he was angry at Bildad, Zophar, and Eliphaz because they had given up even trying. And Elihu's anger is more righteous indignation, if you will, coming out of his zeal. The one thing you know about this young man is he really cares about the reputation of God. And he feels like all of this thing that he's been witnessing now for the first 30-some chapters of this book, that God has been hurt in this thing. And so out of his righteous indignation, he wants to put his message forth and see if he can resolve this issue. So he speaks, first of all, because he's angry. Then secondly, he speaks because he considers himself to be anointed. Notice verses 8 through 10. The multitude of years should teach wisdom, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise, nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore I say, listen to me, I also will declare my opinion. Now, age should bring wisdom, but there is no guarantee that it will. There are just as many old fools as there are young fools. Can I get a witness? Oh, we should pray every day. Don't let me end up like an old fool. I heard about a school teacher who was turned down for a promotion. She was upset that a younger teacher with only 3 years' experience was being promoted instead of her. So she went to the principal and she protested. She said, I've had 25 years of experience and she's had only three. Why was I passed over in favor of a less experienced teacher? Well, the principal said, I have to disagree with you, ma'am. Every year, the other teacher's work has improved. Your work hasn't improved in all the time I've been observing you. I don't agree that you've had 25 years of experience. You've had 1 year experience 25 times. And the principal is right. It's possible to go through life repeating the same way of thinking over and over and never grow or change or learn. That is the point that Elihu is making. He was young, therefore he could not claim to have had wide experience in the ways of God like all of the other participants. But David said it this way, and we do well to remember this passage in Psalm 119, verse 100. He said, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. A careful, obedient, consistent study of God's Word will educate you far beyond any degree you can ever get at any university you can find. You can be the smartest person in the ways of the world, but I can take you to a little old lady who never stepped outside of the high school education she received, but she knows the Word of God inside and out, and she's got far more wisdom than you could ever get with all your degrees. How many of you know that one of the problems a lot of people have is they have a lot of degrees, but they don't have any temperature? Have you ever noticed that? Elihu is, he's on to something here. He's made the point that he's been respectful. He's been gracious. He's been the way he should be as a young man. He's sat back and he's listened. And these have been long speeches, and repetition has been very much a part of the speech process. But now they're silent, and he's going to speak. And the reason he feels he can speak is that God, he feels, is going to speak through him. And that explains why he continues to exhort Job and his friends to listen to him. He believes he is speaking in behalf of the Almighty. He believes that the Spirit of God has anointed him to speak. So he says, I'm going to speak first of all because I'm angry. I'm going to speak secondly because I'm anointed. And then thirdly, he says, I'm going to speak because I'm aroused. Notice, verses 15 through 20, that actual word is in the text several times. They are dismayed and answer no more, speaking of the three friends. Words escape them. And I have waited because they did not speak. Because they stood still and answered no more. I also will answer my part. I too will declare my opinion. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Indeed, my belly is like wine that has no vent. It is ready to burst like new wineskins. I will speak that I can get some relief. I must open my lips and I must answer. Elihu, you see, has been sitting here listening to all this stuff, and the longer he listens and the more he hears and the more he watches, the more he becomes filled with his incredible feeling that he has got to enter into this discussion. He says that his belly is like an old wineskin with new wine. That it's so filled, it's about to burst. And he has got to speak. He's impelled. He's aroused. He cannot not speak. He reminds me of two other people that you read about in the Bible. Perhaps there are more, but these are the two I think of. First of all, the man who has my name, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, on one occasion, said, I will not make mention of God anymore. I will not speak anymore in his name. And then the next words are, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah said, there was a time when I was just, I'm not going to talk about God anymore. But he said, I couldn't shut up because the word of God was in my spirit like a burning fire, and I had to let it out. And then there's the Apostle Paul, who wrote one time in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Every preacher should have a little of the woe is me in him. Are we doing what we're doing because it's a job? Or is this a calling? Is this a ministry? Are we impelled by the Spirit of God to do what we do? And it's not something we do because what we receive back, it's not a job, but it's an incredible opportunity to represent the Lord. And we are not doing this because we want to. We do this because we have to. I don't preach because I necessarily want to. I don't preach in these days because I need to do it. I preach because the Spirit of God has filled me with the Word of God, and I don't know how to live if I don't preach. That's the way it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. Richard Baxter once said, "I preached as never sure to preach again and as a dying man to dying men." That's the way we all ought to come at our task. We are here doing what we're doing, not because it pays the bills, not because, you know, it's the next thing in our career path. We've been called of God to do what we do. And if we ever stop preaching and serving that way, what happens is the result will be minimal and without any eternal impact. So, Elihu had to speak. He was angry. He was anointed. He was aroused. But I have to add one little thought. He was also kind of arrogant. He was young. It's hard to be humble when you're young. It really is. You see, life has a way of making you humble. After you get beat up in life, you get humbled. I run into young guys who come out of seminary. Sometimes I am in meetings with them. And you not believe all the stuff they're going to do. They're telling me how they're going to do this and this, and by this time they're going to be... I just smile. Been there and done that. God will help you get through that. Well, Elihu is still a little cocky. And here's how I know, and I'm not going to spend any more time in this particular section. But Elihu calls Job by his first name. He calls him Job. All the other players in the story don't do that. All the other players respect Job, even though they may not agree with him. He's an older man, and they respect him, and they don't call him by his name. I believe 6 times Elihu addresses Job by his first name, something that even Job's older friends and closer friends did not do. In that particular time, it was very unusual for a younger man to address his elder by his first name. It was a sign of arrogance and pride. And we feel that same way today, too, don't we? So now we're through the 32nd chapter, and Job has been told by Elihu why the speech is about to happen. Elihu wants everybody to listen to him. He's young, he's brash, he's a little bit cocky, but he's got some good things to say, and we need to listen to hear him. So now we're in the 33rd chapter, and we've looked at this is why God is speaking through me. Now in the 33rd chapter, this is what God is saying through me. So first of all, in verses 1 through 7, Elihu gives some assurances to Job. Here's what he says. "Job, please hear my speech and listen to all my words. Now I open my mouth. My tongue speaks in my mouth. My words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. If you can answer me, set your words in order before me. Take your stand. Truly, I am as your spokesman before God. I also have been formed out of clay. Surely no fear of me will terrify you, Job, nor will my hand be heavy on you." Before launching his argument, Elihu wants Job to understand that he is just doing what he thinks is right. He's saying, "Job, I want you to understand, you may not agree with me, you may not even think I have the right to speak, but my words are sincere, and I believe they've come from God, and you don't have any reason to be afraid, Job. Don't claim to have any fear of me." And then he makes the point that we were both born the same way, we came up the same way, we both belong to God, so hear me, Job. I'm younger than you are, but maybe God can speak a word through me that will be of help to you. He gives him some assurances. And then he begins his argument with Job in verse 8. He says, "Surely you have spoken in my hearing, Job, and I have heard the sound of your words. I am pure without transgression. I am innocent. There's no iniquity in me. Yet he finds occasion against me. He counts me as his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. He watches all my paths." Now here's what's going on, and let me just explain this to you so we don't get lost here. Elihu begins his little speech by quoting Job. He's saying, "Job, here's what you said. You said that you were sinless." Not. Job never said he was sinless. Where did that come from? It came from Zophar's accusation. in the speeches we've already studied, Zophar made the accusation against Job that Job thought he was perfect and that he was sinless. Job never, ever said that. Here's what he did say. Job said he didn't lie. He said that he wasn't wicked. He said that he was just and upright. He said that he had not disobeyed God and that he was a flawed human being. He never said he was sinless. In fact, over in Job chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, Job said, "Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse." Job never claimed to be sinless. He claimed to be a sinner. But he did not claim to have done the sins that were accused him by his friends.
Well, this is not a great place for us to have to put our bookmark and the whole weekend before we find out how this gets resolved. But we will resolve it on Monday and hope you'll join us then.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's current series in Job, Tried, Tested, and Triumphant, visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio, where we offer two free ways to stay connected to Turning Point, with a copy of our monthly magazine, Turning Points, and with our daily email devotional. Sign up today when you log on to our Turning Point website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. Be sure to ask for the comforting book, God's Promises for When You're Hurting. Yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible with thousands of notes and articles from over 40 years of study by Dr. Jeremiah. Available in standard or large print, ask about it when you contact us today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. This is Mark Larson. Join us Monday as we continue the series Tried, Tested, and Triumphant on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.